Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest is one of the most prominent members of the France Unbowed party and of the left group in the European Parliament. Manon Aubry is considered something of a firebrand in the French media, and she certainly has not held back on what she calls wheeling and dealing, aimed at shutting out the left from a future government. This following parliamentary elections in which the New Popular Front, or NFP in the French acronym, secured the largest number of seats in Parliament, but no single party or bloc won a majority in that election. Now, much of the Anglophone media refers to France Unbowed as the far left, but it's worth noting that earlier this year, the Council of State, a top judicial body, officially classified the party as part of the left and not of the extreme left. Manon Aubry, welcome to the programme.
Thanks for the invitation.
Let's talk about the re-election of Ursula von der Leyen as head of the European Commission. I listened to your speech after the result, and it was very hard. I mean, you were quite determined not to give her any credit for the last 5 years. I think the only thing where you were a bit more positive was on this housing initiative and the housing commission.
Very little thing.
Yeah,
it's very little thing also because there's an issue of consistency, because it's good if the commission wants to tackle the issue of housing because we really have a housing crisis across the European Union. But you can't at the same time have a big austerity wave in which they're drastic reductions of public spending, including on social housing. So there's a big contradiction there. And generally speaking, the reason why I've been hard on Ursula von der Leyen is just because, I mean, she's been there for 5 years. We know what she's up to. She's up to signing even more free trade agreements and putting unfair competition to our industry, to our agriculture.
I think
she's
that's changing
up for
now.
More austerity. No, it's not changing.
With the there's a decision about subsidies on China.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, as long as you keep getting products from the other side of the world, you know, milk from New Zealand, meat from Brazil and other countries, or fruits from Kenya. Well, of course, this is an unfair competition for European producers and for our European farmers. So clearly there's no... You know, Ursula von der Leyen is not questioning herself in the politics she's been driving for the last 5 years. And what is the result? An unprecedented rise of the far right. This is the result of her policy. So for sure, my group, of the left in the European Parliament, has certainly voted against the re-election of Ursula von der Leyen, and will certainly be the first opponents to Ursula von der Leyen for the next 5 years.
Let's talk a bit about some of the big international topics. Your group voted in favour of a resolution on the 17th of July supporting Ukraine. So that's obviously a signal that the Parliament wants to send at the start of this new five-year legislature. But you have some reservations about that resolution, for example, when it talks about Ukraine being on an irreversible path to NATO membership.
I think it's obviously important to support Ukraine, to support them financially also, for example. That's why we've tabled an amendment to cancel debt, and unfortunately has not been voted by the other groups, which I think is irresponsible. But I think we also have the responsibility of finding a way out of the war for Ukraine. And this is not going to be with military escalation. And that's the danger in which we are at the moment. That's a trap, actually, in which Vladimir Putin wants to take us. So I think we also have to bring diplomacy back to the table.
But you don't support Orbán's diplomacy, though.
Of course I don't. That's why we need some leadership from the European Union to put the different stakeholders around the table and to start negotiating. There's no other way out. Of course, I don't want Putin to win. But for Putin not to win and for this war not to be endless, we need to all sit around the table and diplomacy to be back. But I want to insist that talking about international relationship, there is a really unbearable double standards when it comes to the application of international law for the European Union. How come? How dare we do, rightly speaking, a resolution on Ukraine, but we stay completely blind towards what's going on in Gaza. And we have, you know, Israel literally doing a massacre in the Gaza Strip, and the European Union refusing to have a resolution, the other groups refusing to have a resolution, even a debate. They refused it when we proposed it earlier this week. So this double standard is really making me angry, but not only me. I think it's also an attack towards the credibility of the European Union when it comes to international law.
Actually, von der Leyen, she got a lot of applause when she said that the bloodshed has to come to an end, and she did point out the big EU increase in humanitarian aid to Gaza of 200 million euros in 2024. And I guess the argument is she can only focus on the humanitarian side because EU member states are not going to enact sanctions on Israel, obviously.
Well, there are two things. First, of course, this is welcome that all of a sudden she discovers that there's a need for a ceasefire. But it's a bit of hypocrisy because I remember when Ursula von der Leyen went to Israel, you know, took a nice picture with Benjamin Netanyahu.
That was
who is
just
the
after
one.
The massacre by
Hamas.
Yeah,
but still, they were talking about unconditional support because, of course, the European Union could take sanction. We've taken sanction against Russia. Why aren't we able to take sanctions against Israel? Why aren't we able to suspend the trade agreement between the European Union and Israel? Why aren't we able to decide on an embargo on weapons, European weapons that are sent to Israel?
Let's move on to some of the other issues that you have worked that are very sort of important to you in this whole legislature, and the question of vaccines, which you mentioned a while ago. So the EU's second highest court, the General Court, has ruled that the European Commission has not been sufficiently transparent in securing COVID vaccines. It said that the Commission should not have redacted certain provisions and that the Commission should show the names of the members of the team who negotiated the contracts to allow for investigations into possible conflicts of interest. Manon Aubry, will the new legislature push for this kind of transparency then?
Well, it's this decision of the European Court of Justice symbolizes the lack of transparency and opacity being the rule in the European institution. And I've been fighting over the last mandate, indeed, for those contracts to be published. And I remember, you know, I was in the hemicycle showing the contracts that they gave us. They were all scrapped, you know. You couldn't get any relevant information. And what worries me is that they haven't taken any lesson learned from this, but also from other scandals that popped out, thinking about the Qatargate and other corruption scandal that really make the news in the European institution. And I think, and I've been fighting for, and I will keep fighting for, you know, we should get rid of opacity being the rule in the European institution. This is true for the contract with the big pharmas. This is true for the way decisions are taken in the European institution, because everything is decided, negotiated behind closed doors. It means that you as journalists, the people watching us as citizens and as voters, they have no clue of what's going on. Mm. And I've always been fighting to say what's going on in these rooms. And often, you know, I've been pointed at, like, oh, you shouldn't say. No, what I'm doing in these negotiation rooms, I'm doing on behalf of people, and I'm proud of what I'm doing. But people should be held accountable. That issue of accountability is only possible if you have transparency, meaning that we need to get rid of opacity.
Let's turn briefly to French politics. We now have the re-election of the Speaker of the French National Assembly, which happened on the 18th. You had hoped that the new Speaker would be the candidate that you jointly agreed on by the new Popular Front. That didn't happen in the end.
Should have been, because we're the first political bloc.
Yeah, but he didn't get enough votes in the National Assembly.
Well,
in the end.
First of all, what is the result, especially for people from who are not French? There's been snap legislative election, and we've won them. The new Popular Front, the alliance of the whole left, we came first. Yes, we don't have the absolute majority, but we have a relative majority, and we came first. And how can you explain to voters that you put the new Popular Front first, but they are not get to govern? And the reason why we're not get to govern is because, Macron is trying to steal this victory from us. He's trying to steal democracy. And he's done several things for that.
Is he just not making a tactical alliance there? That's not stealing, is it?
More than that. There's been 17 ministers that have been voting in this election. We have a principle in our constitution, which is a clear separation between executive and parliamentary powers. How come ministers are voting in this election? First problem. Second problem, they've been making an informal alliance with the right wing, but also partly with the far right, because there's been two votes missing that are probably coming from the far right. And I should recall that in total, you know, Macron has been winning the election in the parliamentary as the speaker of the national parliament by just 13 votes. And he's been collecting a few votes there and there with some backdoor agreements. And this is not respecting the votes of what French people wanted. French people wanted to get rid of Macron. And at the end of the day, we have the same government and we have the president of the National Assembly that is from the same party of Macron. This is a sort of a coup that is being done by Emmanuel Macron. Now he has to get back to reason, to admit he's lost the election. This is democracy. And now he has to nominate a prime minister coming from the new Popular Front.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much, Manon Aubry, for being my guest on Talking Europe. Thank you for watching.